Once again, good morning to everyone that's here, and it's a pleasure to see each and every one of them. Sure good to see him. Landry and Camille, it's always good to see John Boy. Glad to have him back with us. And I guess the older I get, the more I appreciate kids. If you don't hear a kid in a congregation, it usually means that there's no kids there. And I'll tell you what, it is a real blessing to see all the kids here this morning. Our lesson this morning that I have been assigned to is the Christian and sin, and the verses that set this off and introduce this comes from 1 John, the first chapter and the 8th verse, and from 1 John, the 2nd chapter and the first 2 verses. The Bible says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And then in John 2, 1 and 2, he continues his teaching, thankfully. He said, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. When we read these 3 verses here, there's 3 things that we automatically see that the Apostle John is trying to teach us. He's teaching us first, don't sin. He's teaching us secondly, don't despair when you do sin. And he is teaching us to share this doctrine of the propitiation with the rest of the world. Now, as John has begun this writing to the people, the first thing he begins is in verse 5 of the first lesson, where John says, God is light. He then goes to the verses 6 and 7, and he applies this application that we are to walk in the light. And then in verses 8 through 10, he provides a clarification. Don't claim to be perfect and have no sin, but confess and repent of your sins so that they may be forgiven. And then in John 2 and 1, he said, walk in the light, don't sin. But he says, you deceive yourself when you sin. And then he continues, and he said, if one does sin, or maybe he should have said, when one does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So the conclusion that I hope to come to when we finish the study is what John is telling us. Don't hide your sins. Don't say you have no sins. But instead, confess your sins and ask for forgiveness of the sins, because you have an all-sufficient advocate standing at the right hand of God that is able to forgive them. And then he concludes with, since this work has been done just not for you, but for the whole world, to share it and to love the way that you have been loved and to show it to others. We're going to discuss a little bit this morning over the subject, the Christian and sin. As we begin the discussion on this subject this morning, I think the first thing we need to realize when John is writing to the church and giving instructions is he simply says, don't sin. My little children, I am writing this to you so that you may not sin. Now, there's several things that come to mind here. And that first is that we need to realize that sin is an insubordination against God, and that's not what God appreciates. We need to understand the seriousness of sin, and that's what John's trying to explain to these people. And then we need to understand that there is a way in the Scripture to overcome sin, and this is probably the greatest gift that humanity has ever been given. Sin is an insubordination against God. And John's aim to the church, as he writes to them, is save yourself some problems and live a life that is as sin-free as you can be. Just don't sin, my little children, is what he said. In the 3rd chapter of 1 John, verse 4, we get a definition of sin, where John says that everyone that commits sin is guilty of lawlessness, that sin is lawlessness. Anytime a man takes the word of God and refuses to submit to the will of God, that is insubordination, that is sin. Or to put it simply, when God commands us to do something and we don't do it, that is insubordination, that is sin. When God tells us not to do something and we do it anyway, this is insubordination and this is sin. This is sin. And John says, little children, do not sin. Now, sin today is usually very discreet. Sin is always rationalized in some way by the people that commit it to make it not as bad as it is. And there's not a lot of people today that thinks sin is very serious, and they really don't get too concerned about little minor white lies and little sins that really don't make a whole lot of difference to them. But John is trying to make the point here that there is absolutely nothing more wicked, there is absolutely nothing more terrifying or consequential than insubordination or sin against our Creator. So John is saying, don't sin, because sin is serious. Sin is serious in the eyes of God. It's not minimal, it's not minimized, and it's not something to take lightly or to rationalize. But it is serious. It's serious according to John himself in 1 John 3 and 8. He said the reason that the Son of God appeared in the first place was to destroy the works of the devil. That's the reason Christ came to the world in the first place. That's the reason he suffered. That's the reason he died, is so that he might destroy sin and be able to defeat the devil. Paul says that he died to purify himself for his bride. In Titus 2 and 14, it said Christ died to redeem us from iniquity and to purify himself a people of his own that are zealous for good works. So the purpose of Jesus coming to earth and living a perfect life and then sacrificing it upon this cruel cross and then the resurrection and the ascension was one. And that was the purity of the church and to show that there was victory over Satan and over sin. And when we sin, John says that we insult the suffering of Christ. And that is extremely very serious. And we need to realize that our sin is a insult to what Christ did to save us from sin. Sin, according to John 1, 3, and 8, is also serious because sin is of the nature of Satan and not of the nature of God. John 1 and 3, 8, he who commits sin is of the devil. Verse 9, no one is born of God commits sin, for God's nature abides in them. What John is trying to say here is that one that lives a life of sin, and what I'm saying here is a one that lives in a way that he does not fight against sin, that he does not hate sin as God hates it, one that does not assault the sin that we're dealt with in everyday life and the temptations, and one that does not try to conquer sin, John said this sin will consume you. This sin can destroy you. Sin is serious because it is not a fruit of God, but in fact it is a fruit of Satan. And once again, we're presented with the two choices. We either sing the song of Satan and sin, or we sing the song of God and we fight against sin and the consequences of it. John said when you sin, your heart is tuned to Satan. So he said, don't tune your heart to Satan, but tune your heart to God and live in this way. Sin is serious because it jeopardizes our salvation. John 2, 3 and 4, and by this we may be sure that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that says, I know him, but disobeys his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now there's been an assault on sin and the seriousness of sin and the going against God since the beginning when the gospel was given. That's what Paul said in Galatians 1. I am amazed that you are so soon are believing the gospel that we did not give you. And the truth is that there are false teachers and false doctrines all over our world that are giving the doctrines, making it easy to be saved and making it easy to follow God and making it easy to be saved, but yet the salvation is not of the gospel that is given in the Bible. We have people telling us if you want to be accepted into God, if you want to be a Christian, all you have to do is say the sinner's prayer and beg God to come into your heart, that Christ will come into your heart, and at that time you are saved. He lives there forever, and there's nothing you can do to be lost. Once saved, always saved. And this is a Calvinistic doctrine that has taken over our world. The only problem is that it is not scriptural. It is of man. And the truth that John is trying to teach people here, us, and the dangers of sin is that a persistence in a sinful lifestyle will destroy an individual's assurance of salvation. And I don't care how many evangelical theories and doctrines there are in the world that provide salvation to ignorant, lukewarm, disobedient people, John's writing completely destroys these doctrines because sin is serious. And if we don't fight against it and do everything we can to overcome it, sin will jeopardize our assurance. But take this one step forward here. And this is something that is very serious that we all need to realize. Sin is serious because it can put us beyond the reach of hope. There is a habit of insubordination or sin that becomes so strong if we allow it to and we do not fight against it and we don't try to get away from it, that we just accept it, we reach a point finally that we can no longer genuinely confess this sin as the sin it is and repent of it and receive repentance. There is a depth of persistence of sin that can put humanity beyond the ability to confess when we lose the ability to hate sin as God hates it and to flee from it as God has commanded us to do. We know this because in Romans 1 and 28, it says because of the disbelief that God had turned men over to a reprobate mind that they may believe a lie. There is a point of no return when we sin and don't fight it. And this is very dangerous, and that's exactly what John is speaking about here when he says don't sin, because it can become all-consuming. It can take us over. It can destroy us. But thankfully, John didn't end there, because he says that there is a scripture that overcomes sin and is able to help us deal with sin. My little children, I am writing this to you so that you may not sin. Don't allow sin to consume your life and to overwhelm you to the point that you will never be pleasing unto God. And John said about this writing, I hope I can save some souls and help you. John 1, 4, 5, and 6. Whoever knows God's listen to him. Those that do not know God do not listen to him. But we know the truth and the spirit of error. John said, do not sin. So he gives these verses to explain to us the dire warnings of sin, to explain to us the consequences of sin, and to realize that God is very much opposed to it, and God will take vengeance on those that do not obey him, because sin is very serious. It insults the suffering that Christ did upon Calvary. It's the nature of Satan to sin. It is not the nature of God. It can jeopardize our assurance of salvation, and it can put us in a position that we never want to be in, where we simply become overconsumed and overwhelmed by sin. I guess we could say in the writings of John that the Apostle John was simply not one to sit upon the fence. So he tells you how it has to be, and he said you need to accept it, or you need to ignore it. But make a choice. Are you going to be on God's side and follow the nature of God? Or are you going to live on Satan's side and follow the nature of Satan? Whoever knows God listens to that that I write. Whoever does not know God does not listen to what I write. Embrace the Word of God, as John is telling us in this writing. And hopefully, if we'll take these words to heart, it will keep us from sinning, because the Word of God is powerful and the Word of God is creative. So, if we were to just read these first verse and not read any more, had John put a period after this, we would be in a kind of a situation right now. But thankfully, after John told us not to sin and we know the seriousness of sin, we finally get down into the second chapter. And Jesus said, or John makes another statement which gives us hope. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sin, and probably it should have said, and when anyone sins, We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. John's saying you're going to sin, but don't despair and don't give up hope because you sinned, because you have sinned. John has explained the seriousness of sin, and he has told us to flee from it, to not be tempted, but he gives us an out when we do make a mistake and we do sin. And he says you need to humble yourself, and you need to see what the word is, and you need to understand it so that you can not sin, but if you do sin, you have a way out of it. And of course, the Bible tells us in Romans that all sin, that means all, 100% of humanity, all humanity sins and always has and always will, all sin and come short of the glory of God. Because human beings are incapable of living a sinless life. Now Jesus was half man, but through the Spirit he was able to live a perfect life. And that's very important. But as 100% human, we can't do it. Because we just simply do not have that capability. And God realizes this. He knows we're weak. He knows we sin. He didn't expect it to be that way because when he created Adam and Eve and put them in the garden with him, it was not to live a life of sin, but people were to live with him and obey him. But he found out pretty quick that mankind was not capable of that type of obedience. We all sin, and it's a weakness, and God realizes it, and God gave us a way to escape the penalty of sin. He said, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. We need to understand this. And when we understand it, we can appreciate it. Because this is the greatest gift that we've ever been given as humanity. Christ is the propitiation for our sins. Christ is an advocate that stands at the right hand of God, and he propitiates for our sins. What does it mean? What does propitiation mean to us? Well, John answers that. John says that propitiation is the removal of the wrath of God against sinners by the, or because of, the death of Jesus. You know, the ultimate problem that humanity has always had, and all humans have always faced, is the wrath that God has against them because of the disobedience to his commandment. But the ultimate good news that we have been given is that God made a way that we could avert the wrath of God that he has for us. And God himself gave himself for his creations so that man would have a way to be forgiven of their sins and to avoid the wrath of God. John 3:36 in the gospel, he who believes in the Son has eternal life. He who does not obey the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God rests upon him. Again, we've got two situations. We've got the individual that is obedient to the gospel of Christ and believes and obeys. This man has the wrath of God abated or avoided through Jesus. And the one that does not have Jesus does not avoid or abate the wrath that God has toward him. That's how serious sin is to a holy, justified God. But God made a way for the sins of man to be propitiated or to be removed, and removes his own wrath and his own justice and his beloved of justice, because there's no sin in God. He has no patience with sin, but he made a propitiation so that this undeniable wrath could be taken away from sinners. 1 John 4:10, and this is in love, that not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. God was not content to leave humanity under his wrath that he could never be justified, or we could never be justified in his eyes. But because of the justice that he had, he also couldn't just forgive the sin that we had committed. So there had to be a way to justify and to hide it in his love. So the love for humanity combined with his need for justice, he himself came to earth and died in the presence of his Son, in the body of his Son, so that sinners could be saved and that the justice of God could be vindicated and fulfilled. And the answer was the death of Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:7. The blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Jesus removed the wrath of God because he lived a perfect life and he sacrificed it. He died for us. He took the curse of sin on himself for us, and God put him forward as a propitiation by his blood. There's no greater news in the world than this. Because mankind that was lost, 100% of mankind that has sinned and was lost had no hope until Jesus, God himself, and the Son of his body, his Son, body of his Son, came to the earth and died so that sins could no longer be counted against us. And that, my friends, is what propitiation for our sins means. He also says that Christ is an advocate. There is one that stands at the right hand of God that is an advocate for us. Because he said, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Christ died for us. He propitiated the wrath of God for us. He was raised from the dead because he had no sin in him. Thus, the curse of the devil could not hold him. And he now stands before God in heaven, and he works for his people, his believers, his church. He works for them in the presence of God. Christ is an attorney. He is an advocate. He is a go-between. He is a mediator between us and man, before us and between us and the Father in heaven. And when we sin, and we realize it, and we repent of it, and we confess that sin, Christ doesn't have to go to the cross and die for us again, because he did it once, and it was perfect. And God understands everything that Jesus went through. He knows the hurt, he knows the pain, the crown of thorns and humiliation. He knows the suffering, but he also realizes the final words that Jesus said when he said, "It is finished." Because he had done his job and he had made himself a propitiation for man. And he's able to stand now at the side of God and advocate for those that are sinful by nature, that are willing to understand it and repent of it and confess of it. What Jesus pleads on our behalf in heaven is the ongoing effects of his own death upon the cross. John said, don't say you have no sin. Don't say you don't sin. Don't say there's no sin in you, because that makes you a liar. But when you sin, confess it and repent it and depend upon our advocate in heaven, that we're able to plead our case not on the basis of our perfection, but because of the propitiation that he has made for us. John says, I don't want you to sin. He said, little children, don't sin, because it's too serious and there's too many bad things about it. And we need to understand the danger of living in sin. And we need to realize always that we've got to fight sin and the temptations of sin any way it presents itself. And it will present itself to each and every one of us on a daily basis. He said, you've got to fight against this. But the good news is that there's an advocate for us that has removed the wrath of God for those that trust in him. Be vigilant in your Christian walk. Guard against despair. Understand the hope. And keep vigilant hope in God that there is a power that we can overcome sin. That is through obedience into Jesus and becoming part of his family. Then we are one that has been washed in the propitiation of his sin. And then he concludes this. He said, share this gift with others. Its perpetuation of sins was not for us only, but for the sins of the whole world. John 3:36, he who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God shall rest upon him. And the wrath of God is perpetuated only for those that obey the Son of God. That's Romans 3:25. But he's not for us only. He's for all of humanity. And over the last words that Jesus said to his apostles, we're going to make disciples out of the world. Go spread my gospel. Go teach them what I've done. Have them believe it. And in summary, that's the same message we are given today. So to summarize and conclude the whole study of these three verses, don't sin. It is tremendously, horribly serious. There's no good consequences with an unforgiven sin. But if you do sin, and you will, Don't despair, because you have an attorney and an advocate that stands at the right hand of God that speaks for you through what he has done. He is righteous, and he makes his case for you, not based on your perfection, but upon his perfection and his propitiation. And he said, be of good courage. Now go and make disciples and teach the rest of the world about this as well. Concludes my remarks this morning. We'll now offer an invitation. One that wants to believe upon Christ can follow the gospel plan. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. If you need the prayers of the church, come forward as we sing. Stand as you're able.